Lent is that time when we are challenged to make and to think about how we might make more room for God in our lives. One way we can do this is to consider our direction or purpose in life. Because for better or worse, our lives follow a trajectory. Because where we end up depends upon where we are going. I know the last thing many of us want to think about is our direction and purpose in life. Some of us may feel too ill, too tired, or just plain too old to think about where we are going. A few of us might feel as though we are too young. There are just too many options to be tied down. Some of us might feel just too busy. Too busy with work, too busy with family to add one more thing to think about to our overflowing plates. My suggestion to you this day is not to see our direction and purpose as one more thing to be added to a rather shaky pile, so much as to think about who we are and where we are going, what we are called to be in this world. Each of our readings today speak of this kind of journey, of people taking a new direction in life. A journey, a calling, which is from isolation to connection. So let's start with Abram, whose life is taken so often as emblematic, an illustration of what a life of faith looks like. We don't know how God spoke to Abram. We only know that God challenged Abram to leave his country, his kindred, and his father's house to journey to an unknown land for a blessing of unimagined scope and importance. When we meet Abram here, he's a man going nowhere fast. His name means exalted father, which perhaps implies a contrast between himself and his own father's great nobility. It's striking to see that Abram seems like a solitary, almost isolated figure. When God speaks, there's no mention of his wife. No children are present either. He is without land, without wealth of his own. In his time and place, to be without either of those things was to be lifeless, as good as dead, without having a future or any prospect at all. How we understand Abram's journey of faith affects our own journey too. Many read this story as simply one of an adventure, as though he moves simply from the comforts of home into greatness. For many Christians, this is understood through the lens of obedience and authority. God tells Abram to go, so he goes. Abram believes, and so he is blessed. He shows his strength by setting off with God at his side. The model of faith this offers us is often one of observance and conformity. Put another way, it's about making more space for God by having less room for us. The promise is that if only we believe and obey God's word enough, then we too will be blessed. That if we conform by doing all the right things, then we will get into heaven also. But God will love us so long as we keep away from all those bad things in the world. But as a mold for our spirituality, this approach of more of God, less of us, can tend to make people anxious and defensive. People grow fretful about whether their beliefs are sound enough to get into heaven. They become defensive as it gets harder and harder to keep away from all those impure things we're supposed to keep away from. They become incessant in their demands that others repent, because they just can't imagine God being interested in anyone who's not as pure or as holy as themselves. But there is another way to understand this journey of Abram, this journey of faith, as a journey of discovery. From this perspective, Abram's faith only emerges through the struggles that he experiences. Because the Abraham we meet at the end of the story is very different from the Abram that we meet in today's story. When Abraham dies in chapter 25, his name speaks of his new identity and the direction that he took in life. Abraham means the father of many. He has become a father in his own right, rather than simply magnifying his own father. He is no longer isolated, but he is connected. He is connected because he is surrounded by all his sons and family. He's buried in the land that God promised. The blessing from this perspective is not reserved to the end, but unfolds throughout Abraham's life as he grows in faith by discovering God and learning to set aside the fear that is coiled around his soul. It's interesting in today's reading, we see that Abraham shows both faith and fear. He is told to go, but he takes Lot with him. Throughout his life, Abraham has to confront his fears of being unloved, unworthy, and helpless. And although God's love for him is never diminished, that Abram gives in to these fears has tremendous and enormous repercussions. After all, Lot's daughters would give birth to Israel's nearest neighbors and deepest enemies. Nicodemus came to see Jesus in the dead of night, all alone. As a Pharisee, a leader of a religious group that focused on purity as the pathway to God's blessing, he believed that God loved only those who obeyed God's law without fault or error. If a life of faith is about having more of God and less of us, Nicodemus exemplifies this. So it's sad to realize how much Nicodemus' name became a slur, synonymous with those who were accused of having private beliefs that were different from those that they presented in public. However, if faith is more about discovery, then what we see in Nicodemus is someone who is prepared to rethink their direction, purpose, and calling in life. Oh, the ink and blood and misery that has been spilt as to why and how and where someone must be born again. Jesus' words are intentionally cryptic. In Greek, the term has this dual sense of meaning both born again and born from above. To Nicodemus, being born meant being born the right way, in the right family, to an observant family that kept the right things the right way. Only by doing so would someone inherit the blessing promised to Abraham. But for Jesus, being born by the Spirit was far more important. There's another word play that works its way through here, because the word used for Spirit could just as easily be translated as breath or wind. It's as though the life-giving Creator can and will awaken anyone whom God chooses without seeking anyone else's advice or approval. And so Jesus is surprised that Nicodemus, as a teacher of Israel, fails to understand this creative work of God. What ultimately matters to Jesus is what God will do to create life. And with these words, Jesus resets Nicodemus' expectations about faith, because it is God's love for the world that matters. Because Jesus did not come to judge or dispose of the world, but in order that everyone might be saved. Put another way, God is refashioning the world, restoring the world, reviving the world, helping it to become what it was always meant to be. From this perspective, faith is not a matter of conformity or control, but of discovery, of entering into this work of new creation. Because faith is something that only emerges through the darkness, through conversation, through our misunderstanding. At the end of the story, it's hard to know what happens to Nicodemus. We sense that God is at work in his life, only we don't get to see how that happens. It's only at the end of John's gospel that we get to see Nicodemus again, this time bringing the spices that are used for Jesus' burial. We are shown that his trajectory in life has shifted. For someone who starts by sitting with those who plot Jesus' arrest and execution, ends the story by making new connections with Jesus' followers. When Paul wrote his letter to those in Rome, the church was bitterly divided. People were isolated from each other. Those with Jewish ancestry considered themselves privileged as custodians of this promise given to Abraham, while those of Gentile ancestry were disparaged simply for not making the grade. In order to end this dispute, Paul looks back to present Abraham as their common ancestor. Because God's promise to Abraham was predicated not on Abraham's own work, but upon God's character, God's capacity, God's overwhelming generosity and kindness. Put simply, Abraham was lifeless and without direction until he heard God's voice. And so it was out of love that God brings Abraham to life. It was out of love that God called into existence things that did not exist. It was out of love that Abraham discovered his calling to become the father of many nations. It was God's faithfulness that mattered. And so Paul is always grappling with people whose vision of God's love is way too small. Way too small because they are so preoccupied with getting everything right and staying away from everyone they consider to be wrong, the net result is that they have no room for anybody else other than themselves. They expect entry into God's kingdom as if it were the wages that are due from their lifetime of self-sacrifice and discipline. But Paul wants people to see that God's love is something big and expansive, that love connects them to God, to others, and to themselves in ways that they could never imagine. That God's love is so big that it is capable of holding both the godly and the ungodly together, no matter how lifeless they all seem. From this perspective, faith is always God's work. God's work to follow through and achieve what God wants to do, to save the whole world, to give everyone a fresh direction in life. So Lent is a good time for us to think about how we might make more room for God in our lives. But faith is not a matter of having more room because we diminish ourselves. Rather, we are called into a life of connection. This is what faith is all about. We discover our connections with God's great love for creation, for humanity, the connections we have with each other, and to see how God's faithfulness slowly dissolves the fears that grip our souls also. Like Nicodemus and Abraham, we are invited to consider our direction in life by discovering Christ's work for ourselves. That what matters is not our perfection, but God's creative spirit working in and through us. Because when God's breath stirs, we find that everyone is welcome. Not just Isaac, the promised child, but Ishmael also. Not just the children of Sarah, but the children of Hagar and Keturah as well. And even all of Abraham's concubines. All of them are welcomed into the family. In this way, all the nations share in the faith, because faith is only and always about God's creative work. This journey is at the heart of our missional spirituality project. Spirituality is not about our diminishment so much as discovering more about ourselves and how we can be connected to God and each other in new and different ways. So if you're feeling tired and overwhelmed, if your faith just feels too small and inadequate, because your fears are too big, that's okay. Because faith is about discovering what God can do through love in you, creating new life and calling out things that you've given up upon. Your direction and purpose in life starts by knowing that you are loved by God. And from that, you discover how you can be a participant in God's work of love. So wherever you are, however small you feel, this is a connection. This is a direction that we can follow. My prayer is that you might learn to look up this Lenten season, to discover and see the big story of God's love, and to find how through love Christ is renewing and restoring and rescuing us all. Amen.